Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. We are thankful you have again tuned in. This week, we return to the book of Romans and look at Romans chapter 10. We have not explored this section very much yet on Abounding Grace, and today I want to spend some time and throughout this week looking at this marvelous section where Paul is wrestling through a certain issue that he presented and started in Romans chapter 9, and one that he completes all the way through chapter 11. And that is the issue with regard to Israel. As you know, the Apostle Paul in Romans has been working throughout, and we've been considering the past months on Abounding Grace, the book of Romans, and this central truth of justification by faith alone, the great and glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, here Paul's answering the objection in the issue of whether God's promises are failing with regard to national Israel. And Paul here is going to take up the subject of these two kinds of righteousness. This righteousness, which is of the law, which Moses speaks of, and that is the basis of which Israel failed because they tried to attain to God's righteous standard by keeping the law. And then, of course, there's this other righteousness that Paul has introduced, that Paul has explained, that Paul has loved and Paul has found life by, this righteousness of Christ. And he says in Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So this week we will be comparing and contrasting these two different kinds of righteousness. Well, we know today that one of the great challenges and really attacks that the church today has been faced with is what has been labeled as Christless Christianity. We have done all we can to keep Christ out of the message. We have presented it in turn and instead self-help messages and messages that make us attain ourselves by looking inward. If you look at all false religions, if you look at the brand of Christianity today that is really prevailing among most Christians, it is telling us to look inward, to find the power within, whether it be the seven steps to this or whatever. And we have successfully removed the need for the alien righteousness of Jesus Christ. When I say alien, I mean a righteousness that is outside of us. Christianity is a religion that tells us to turn away from ourselves. It smashes us really into the ground. It humbles us. It says that we are nothing and says we have to look outside of ourselves to find a righteousness that God will accept. Well, in Romans chapter 9 through 11, Paul is now really applying this great truth of the application of the righteousness of Christ, of justification by faith, really with the question of what happened to Israel. He's addressing this great question of what happened to national Israel because they did not attain to the righteous standard that God required. And that's a big question for a lot of Christians today. What about Israel? Well, Romans 9, if we would only go to the Bible, this question is answered for us. Romans 9 through 11 has explained to us and answered for us this great dilemma with regard to national Israel. Paul presented the great truth there that not all Israel is of Israel. That's the beginning of Romans chapter 9. And he's answering the objection that, well, maybe God's promises failed with regard to national Israel. And Paul's answering that objection by saying, no, God's promises have not failed. They are being worked out in the true Israel because not all Israel is of Israel. Those whom he has foreknown and predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, which includes both Jews and Gentiles together, form the true Israel of God. And so throughout the course of the chapter, the apostle has desired to make it very clear that it's not God's election that is to blame for national Israel's failure. The driving point of Romans that he has labored to show us again and again, that a sinner is in need of a righteousness that is holy outside of him. And Israel has failed to attain to this righteous standard, and the apostle has showed us a bleeding heart over Israel. Remember what he said in Romans 9, right at the beginning? I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart over my countrymen according to the flesh. And he says in chapter 10 that his great desire, that the great burden of his heart is that Israel would be saved. And so he is praying this terrible burden of his soul because national Israel has not attained. And we sit here today in our day and age, and we are a bit stunned by this fact because Israel is a bit of an enigma to us. Why did God raise up this great nation, one nation in the earth, and bless them more than any other people in the earth, only to find that at the end of the day, they would be cut off and face his extreme judgment? Paul, throughout Romans, is explaining this to us. In chapter 15, he says very pointedly, 15 verse 4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And correlates all of this to what he said back in chapter 3, verse 19, where Paul wrote this, and this is such an important verse today as we jump into Romans chapter 10. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world might become guilty before God." Did you hear that? Whatever God wrote in his law, it was said to those who were handed that law, who were under that law. Now, who is that? Well, it's Israel. Why? For what end? So that every mouth might be stopped and the whole world might become guilty before God. Did you hear the connection? The law was given to show sin. And when Israel failed with the law in their hands and in their mouths, that was to the end that our mouths would be stopped in 2008 and that we would all become guilty before God. So now we understand very clearly why God raised up that nation. In Israel, we see who we are. God has given us a mirror stamped on the pages of the Old Testament. Why? God wasn't boring us with all those Old Testament stories. He was showing us in great detail who we are and what we need. Because he would soon raise up that nation of Israel, that nation would receive his word in their hands, and they would reject that word, and God would come down, and he would say things like this: "They're stiff-necked people. They're always turning. They're always sinning. They're lusting after other women and other gods. They're idolaters." I mean, just read through the prophets. Doom and gloom, isn't it? Over and over and over again. And what did God do? In his fury, he came down, often wiping thousands off the face of the map. What Paul is saying to us is this: God raised up Israel, and God set apart Israel, and God gave them his law so that in their failure, they would become a mirror to the world, silencing all and condemning all. And so his point is that we would not read of Israel's sexual immorality and idolatry and stiff-necked nature and say, "Well, I'm so glad that as a Christian in 2008 or whatever year, that I'm not like that." No, God is saying, "You are like that. My wrath and my fury burns. And that same judgment of which I've already made known when your conscience excuses you or excuses you is coming upon the whole world. So you better listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you and the way to obtain what Israel did not." Because God had always announced, even to Israel, a way of escape. But it was never to be attained by law keeping. And that's where Israel stumbled. Paul writes in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." The goal of the law is Christ. The law was a tutor to the end that we would flee to Christ and receive his righteousness, because his life and his death and his resurrection meets all the righteous standard that God accepts. Well, that's what we're looking at today. The great subject here is how this righteousness that God requires is received. Israel's seeking landed them in wrath because they tried to keep the law to attain to God's standard. What about us? Where do we find this righteousness? How is Christ received? How do we appropriate and take hold of him? What is the means by which a sinner is right with God? If it has nothing to do with my works and my law keeping, and therefore is something outside of my life, how is this righteousness brought to me? Where do I get it? Well, that's what Paul is applying for us in Romans chapter 10. He outlines these two kinds of righteousness. He says Israel tried to have their own righteousness by the law of righteousness. And why didn't they attain? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, the works of the law, and they stumbled at Christ. But then he pronounces so wonderfully in Romans 10 verse 4, "For Christ, Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." It is Christ who meets that standard. It is Christ's perfect life that God accepts. It is Christ's death on the cross that satisfies all the demands of the law. Now, my friends, today we may have a Christianity today that's telling us to look inward to find this righteousness, telling us to look inward to find this satisfaction, telling us about our self-esteem needs and all these other things. But I tell you, they all fall short of the righteousness that God demands. God calls the sinner to look outside of himself and embrace Christ. Look to Christ, flee to Christ, lay hold of Christ. You don't just accept him, you fly to Christ as the only way to the Father. Have you believed in him today? May that be the burden of your heart, to trust in Christ and his righteousness.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.